Father, we thank you that we can come together, Lord, today. We thank you, Lord, that we know that you know what our needs are. And Lord, that your desire is for us to receive from you, to be able to be blessed, Lord, to be able, Lord, to be able to connect with you and have all our needs met. Lord, we just praise you and thank you. And we open our heart to you to allow the word, Lord, to penetrate in our hearts, Lord, to give us understanding, to give us life, to give us victory. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Last week, we touched some topics that are really important to understand how errors and how mistakes happen with even people that love the Lord. The difficult thing that we have to understand is that nobody is perfect, nobody knows everything. And even then, you see, some errors are minor, others can be not minor, may have consequences. And so we have to understand that sometimes it may be difficult to discern when something is wrong, something is off, because there are other things that are okay. And so because the other things are okay, then one goes along with it. But that doesn't mean that those things that are wrong are not going to have an effect on us. So the basic thing is for us to acquire discernment, to know the word by which we filter everything that we are exposed to, so that we can see where the truth is and we can protect ourselves from error. So we are going to go more in detail today on how meditation in the Word works, how it's effective. Now, there are two points that I want to make about that. Okay. Number one, the meditation is a tool that trains us to see with our heart, because that's what we do as we meditate. We just don't look at things that are. See, the important thing is, though, that we need to have three factors contributing to our success there. First of all, is awareness. We have to be aware of what's going on inside ourselves, and so we, from that point of view, be able to determine if that's going in the right direction or not. Number two, we need to practice. We cannot succeed. You know, you cannot meditate one day and think that you're going to get big results. You have to keep doing it, and the more you do it, and the more you're going to be effective in it. The third element is actually discipline. We have to be disciplined in the things we do, because otherwise there are other things, there are interferences that come into the picture, and they're going to be reducing the effect of the things. And there is, you know, the discipline connected with especially awareness are very important. You have to know what's going on in your head and what's going on in your heart. Okay? Not just awareness of the things outside that sometimes is important. I mean, if you're across the street, yes, definitely that's an important thing. But if you are meditating, hopefully you are not crossing the street. You are going to be, you know, in a quiet place by yourself. And so that's not going to be the external awareness is not so important, but the internal awareness is important. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you doing within yourself? Because that makes the difference. It's not, we are not guided by feelings. We are guided by the word. And so, but, you know, the external awareness comes in when you are exposed to things. See, You're supposed to think, you have to be aware of the way they impact you, the way they have an effect on you, because that is the final results. Oh, and we're going to see that more in detail. So, but the idea is, you know, what you end up focusing on, where our focus is where, you know, we concentrate, where we actually allow that thing that we focus on to become more powerful in you. So if you are focusing on God, if you are focusing on the Word, evidently God becomes bigger. But if you focus on your problems, then the problems become bigger than your God. If you focus on the devil, that's who is going to be stronger than God after a while. In you, because you allow that to happen. See, we have the ability to switch through our focus what's happened within us. Okay. The thing is, when we, as I said before, we meditate all the time. Most of the time, we are unconscious of what we are doing. We are on cruise control. You know, you may have seen it yourself, you know, going in the room, doing something, going out, and they say, well, what did I do there? You know, did I leave? Where did I put my keys? Well, because you did that without thinking. Okay. It was natural thing. Okay. But when we do that, that awareness becomes important when it deals with the spiritual things. Because if you don't know what's going on, then you're going to be sucked into things that you don't want to be sucked in. Okay? Now, how do you meditate? You know, let's go back a moment here. You know, when we focus on the wrong thing, like, for example, you know, greedy thoughts or lustful thoughts or other things, we empower them. And if we focus them enough, what is going to happen, you know, if we do not resist them, if we don't come against them, automatically they are going to be pulling us into doing things that are not in agreement with God. I mean, lustful thoughts are just nothing else than desires that do not line up with the Word of God. They are contrary to the Word of God. So whenever you are pulled in a direction that is contrary to what God says, you know, if you are there thinking enough, you're going to end up doing it. Because of what you are actually doing, you're meditating. So how do you meditate? You just ponder, consider, think, imagine, look in the heart, okay, until you conceive. See, what I'm saying here is the progression that happened within you that we saw even before, okay? So what we look at when we meditate biblically, well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what we do is we must look at what? What are the things that are not seen that we want to look at was actually the promise, God's promises. See, you are not going to look at, you know, all the condemnations that you can find in the Bible. Some people do that and they go around depressed and, you know, oppressed all the time without being able to overcome because they give power to the things that produce them. What you have to do is to give power to the things that produce the blessings. So, for example, he says, you know, that all things are of God now that you are born again. You start focusing on the fact that, you know, there are things in you that are of God. All things are of God because he changed you and transformed you. But if you look at all the condemnation verses in the Bible that we are going to go around, you know, you have to know them because you have to know what produces that, but you don't focus on that. Because if you focus on that, what you're going to do is nothing else that look for that everywhere you go. Okay? So this is the way our perception works and the way we operate. I mean, there are little examples that we can do. So when we look at that continuously, we get used to see those things in a certain way, in a certain perspective. They become more and more real. We give more and more power to that. And because of that, then, you know, we start actually normally seeing it. It's the normal mode in which we operate because we have been meditating on it. Okay? So as a consequence of that, because we internally, what we say to ourselves, the way we see things, the way we see perspective of things, the way we deal with the situation is going to be affected, and our actions and our words are going to line up with that. Without us trying to make us say the right thing or make us do the right thing, we are going to be saying and doing the right things naturally, without any effort. See, because this is a way transformation takes place on a spiritual level, is not effort. If there is effort, that means you are working toward the solution. And the only way is not that you're trying to impose it to yourself, you start to think the right way. And you meditate on the right way, until it's going to be manifested in you. Now, as he said, difficulty done. Okay? If you're sick and you, you know, meditate on Isaiah 53, you know, by stripes you were healed, or, you know, Romans 8:11, you know, that the same spirit that was in Jesus, you know, is in you, therefore he will quicken your mortal body. I mean, you can think, you know, if you feel this, the symptoms in your body, is going to be very difficult not to see those things just as well. But when you start to be able to see that, then it's easy to receive. Actually, is almost unconsciously received because it's there. Okay? So if you are a strength, the Bible says, you know, that the weak say, I'm strong. Well, you start saying that before you actually are going to feel strong. Okay? If you want to, but there is a side, you know, people want to apply that sometimes in ways that don't work. You know, if you want to lose weight, lots of people want to do that for many reasons, physically and whatever. Okay. And you go around, you know, saying, quoting scripture, you know, about that kind of things, and you can. Okay. But you don't change the way you eat. Nothing is going to work. It's not going to evaporate the fat that you have accumulated. Hello? You see, the image inside you should be that you want to eat the right thing. That you are not going to do the things that are going to be having a negative effect on the thing. That, you know, you are not going to be driven by gluttony and want to eat more and more and want to eat only the stuff that are not very good for you. Hello? You see, I mean, somebody that, you know, can be praying to have a child, where if you're not married, then it's not going to work. Hello? Are you following? I mean, there has to be action corresponding to what you are trying to do. And sometimes the action comes as you getting close to that. Okay? Now, one of the things that, you know, we do is therefore also not just thinking, but acting on these things. One of the actions that comes naturally, and the Bible talks very clearly, is what we say. You know, the scripture is used in many different ways, but this is one of the ways it should be used in Romans 10:17. You know, the faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So when you meditate, actually you are saying those things. And as you say, if you say something that is in agreement with the word of God, then you are hearing the word of God. And that produces faith. That produces faith on the moment when you are focusing and working on that. Okay? So when you meditate intentionally and externally, That works in two ways. Works mostly from inside you and works also for your senses, the ear, and what you are saying. The more exposed to the word, with more senses that you can, the more it's going to be effective. Because that's the way the world around you influences you. Okay? When you meditate on the word, the logos, but means, you know, the ideas, the thoughts of God, becomes rhema because you start receiving it for yourself. Okay? And you start seeing the results. The more you see the results, the more actually is working in your heart. The easier it is. And this is why, you know, your words in faith have power. When you can repeat the words without believing them, don't do anything. It's when you speak in faith that your word have the ability to bring about the things that you are saying. And it's not because just of your word, it's a combination of your word and your beliefs or your faith. This is what says in Mark 11:22-24. Okay? Jesus said unto him, have faith in God, for assuredly. Assuredly means, you know, you can be sure about that. It's not something that you can, you know, that sentence there by itself says that, you know, that's the truth. Okay? And this is what Jesus speaking. I say to you that whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed, be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he say shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. So the idea is, you see, that's a pretty clear statement, and it's not a question of some people go around and say, well, you know, this faith message. Well, a faith message based on scriptures is not based on anything. Now, you can misuse it, and we're going to see that in a minute. How that happens. The point is that scriptures. Can you see that? Okay. It says, therefore I say unto you, things however you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So you speak it, praying, and you believe that you receive and you shall have it. And the same thing, you see, this is a scripture that is not just one scripture saying that. There are many scriptures saying the same thing. You know, I mean, there is other ones in Matthew. There is, for example, even the basic scripture that you use for salvation. Romans 10:9. That you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe into righteousness, and with the mouth salvation is made, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see that evidently it's not just one place, it's not just a distortion of the truth, it's not just not true. This is what the Bible says in many places. And Jesus did it in his ministry evidently many times. Now, the people that want to reject that, they had to reject what Jesus did, and many do, because they don't believe in the miracles. So, but that's another story. We're going to see that in the courses. All right? So, the effect, how do you get effective meditation then? You know, you have to discipline yourself, okay? And you have to see what you're meditating about. See, what are you thinking about within yourself? What are you telling yourself all the time about different things? So your awareness of that becomes important. You have to know where you stand. And you have to do something else, which is the second part. You see, one of the most effective, you know, is to visualize what you're meditating on. Because your sight has to be able, is a very powerful part of you. And so the more, when you can actually, is when you visualize, when you see, you know, if you need healing and you see yourself healed, you are healed. Because it's going to happen. There is no way. The thing is, to get to that place, there is a lot of work, preparation that is before, but it's not physical work, it's mostly inner work. But that doesn't mean that you spend physically time in doing it. Okay? So the second point that I wanted to make today is that for meditation to work, for anything spiritually to work, you have to take control of your thought. If you don't take control over your thought, you are going to be in everything what you are exposed. They are going to go in and out, and everything is going to happen. You're going to be walking randomly and getting nowhere. See, because if you see the only place from what from A to B, you have to have, know where you're going to go, and you keep yourself in that direction. You keep your rudder so in such a way that you keep moving in the right direction. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. If you want to go to any place, you have to have a goal that you know you want to go to, and when you move in any direction, you see, am I going to get closer to that or not? That is true physically. If you want to go to Montreal with your car, or if you go want to go spiritually someplace that you want to change something in your life, you want to achieve some successes, I want to, whatever it is, it's always the same unless you are focused, unless you take control over your thought life, it's not going to happen. Now, so what So when you meditate, essentially, it's the path that you take to get to your destination. What is the path? What is, you say, you know, meditate, biblical meditation is meditating on the Bible. All right? But not meditating on anything in the Bible. You meditate on God's promises. Okay? You meditate on God's will for you. That is the key. It's the will of God that you are meditating. But you know, even in that case, there could be problems. Now we're going to see that in a minute. Okay. Psalm 19, verse 14 says, "The world of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now, this is a statement of faith, okay? But at the same time, you see, it shows that he's making a choice. And the choice is that anything that the word says that I should meditate on, I'm going to meditate on. See, you want the things, the thoughts that are inside you, line up with the Word of God. This is why you need awareness. I mean, we go around saying lots of things within ourselves that we shouldn't say about ourselves and about others. Sometimes when, you know, there are some rules for operating in a society, so don't say certain things, but when, you know, we get carried out by our emotions, we end up saying even things that we shouldn't say. Okay. Evidently, you know, what we had to do is work before that. You know, when we realize that some of the thoughts get in the wrong direction, we had to take action so that we correct that. Otherwise, we are going to fall into the things the way that the world does. Okay? So, we choose another one. Psalm 49, verse 3. "My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding." Now, here it says, give another dimension. You know, give understanding is really actually could be translated from the Hebrew, develop understanding. Okay, so you are speaking wisdom because you are meditating on the Word of God. Well, actually, what wisdom is to know God's direction in the situation you're in. So you know what God wants to do in that case, and you speak it out. You see, that is a decision we make. We don't speak things contrary to what God says. The second thing is when we do that, automatically we are going to understand things that before we didn't understand. Because things are revealed to us because the Spirit of God is working in us. Are you following me? Okay, I'm trying to be as simple as possible, but look at the different situation. Okay? So that you understand not to make the mistakes that often are made in meditation. Okay? So, the word of God should give focus, should give the direction, should be the objective of our meditation. Okay? Why? Because the word of God is God's direction for us. Word of God are spiritual. Okay, there is a spiritual content in them, give us spiritual information that is not available to our senses on the outside, but they're available through to our senses through the reading and knowing the word. Okay? So, see, the John chapter 6, verse 63 says, It is the Spirit who gives life. Flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, that was Jesus speaking, they are spirit and they are life. John 6, 63. Okay, so now let's see. You see, the thing is, the word itself is spirit. Okay, that means, you know, says when it is the spirit that gives life. So the spirit gives life. What does it mean? Really, the life is really everything that works in us. In the right direction, is success in the things that we are able to do and everything else. Really, this is the life that comes to us. Where the flesh, says there, profits nothing. See, when we move, our life is ruled by our desires, our physical life. Okay. Well, that's where the problems come from. Because sometimes our desires do not line up with the word of God, okay? For one reason or another. Generally, it's because we don't understand, okay? Because probably we have been having experiences or teaching or whatever that are wrong, okay? So we end up doing things according to our desire instead of according to the spiritual direction that God gives, okay? And the word says, in that case, and this is just determined by our senses because our flesh, you know, in that case, that profits nothing. So we are following this desire. We are not going to profit from that following, through that path because it's going to be just negative. Okay. God gives life. Flesh profit nothing. Okay. That's a very simple idea, but really that should help us to understand that we have to seek, we have to determine where those desires come from and if they're lining up with the word of God. See, that's internal awareness. Okay? So that clears, shows something very simple and clear how errors come about. You know, take for example the John 3:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, as your soul prospers. Well, you can take that scripture in isolation from all the other scripture of the Bible. He said, well, God wants to prosper me. And that becomes the only thing that you focus on and meditate on. And what's going to happen, you're going to distort everything about that because the only thing you think about, you know, it doesn't matter what, I'm going to prosper. When instead, you cannot do that in any other areas. I mean, you know, God can say, you know, the word says that it's good for us to marry, for example. Well, you can get fixated in that thing, start meditating on that, and you end up getting married in the wrong place, with the wrong person, with the wrong thing, because, well, you know, God wants me to get married. And you meditate on that person until, you know, that person becomes the answer from God. I can give you an example. This is actually somebody I knew, a leader in a charismatic group. That was a long time ago. This person, wife, had a stroke. And the stroke, she was not very able to speak too much. It was moving really and so on. So what happened in the group in which they were meeting, you know, another woman joined and something developed between them. And the conviction, because he was thinking about, well, God wants me to be happy. God sent her here for me. And they were having an affair. Okay? But I was convinced of that truth. It wasn't true, it was a lie of the devil. But you see, he was meditating on the fact that God wanted to be happy. But that was not the way, that was not coming from God, evidently. I remember I was at the meeting, at the full gospel meeting. And that was also, that shows, you know, many years ago, probably 30 years ago, you know, maybe in the 80s anyway. There was a prophecy coming true. And somebody exposed that clearly. And this person didn't know the person. I knew because I was involved in the full gospel and I was one of the, you know, was the vice president then. And I knew everybody there. I knew that the two people didn't know each other, but the prophecy came true very clearly that he had to repent and change from that situation. And I said, my goodness, I know who this guy is. All right. The fact is, didn't make any difference. He was convinced. Do you see what I mean? See, that's how error comes into the body of Christ. That's how, you know, heresies come into the body of Christ, because people start meditating on a certain idea and then the whole idea becomes the truth. That's how the people started worshiping the Virgin Mary. Hello? See, the thing is, we have to understand that Jesus said, you know, even the very elect can be deceived. So we have to be careful as we do, you know, go to the Word, that we take the Word and we don't take just one scripture that fits our desires. There has to be balance in our using of the scriptures. That means we have to see that when we make a choice, it has to line up with all the Bible, not just with one part of it. It has to be lining up with the, you know, with the whole counsel of God and not just what's convenient for us. Are you following me? See, if you do that, you're not going to get deceived. You're not going to get in trouble. You're not going to go into error. See, that's talking about the importance of balance. Now, how you do that? See, the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. So you have to be in the Spirit. You have to do. But really, you know, considering the whole counsel of God sometimes is difficult, because that means you know the Bible well. All right? Well, you should aim to do that, okay, as much as possible, okay? But there is one scripture that actually can give us the balance by itself very clearly. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthiness, meditate on these things. I mean, when you go through these things and you go through an idea, it says, you know, are these the criteria they apply to this particular situation? I think you're going to screen out lots of stuff. Do you see what I'm saying? And but it's not very difficult to memorize one scripture so that you have it right there at your disposal when you need it for. And this is pretty clear. I mean, it's not, and says, the things which I learned, which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Do you see now the picture? You see now how to actually use this in such a way that it's going to produce good results and it's not going to produce problems in yourself by being deceived. See, that's some of the mistakes that are going on today in Christianity come from just that. People wanting to see the power of God so badly that they stress only the funny stuff instead of really listening and seeing the power, the true power of God operating. Jesus never put up a show in his ministry. When they asked him to do something just to make a show, he refused to do it. Now we want to have, gold falling on the sky from the sky and stuff like that. It's just nonsense. God doesn't do something for put up a show. Okay, so you must control your thoughts. That's a basic truth that we have to apply. Well, and that's nothing else in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you are stuck in any area of your life, and you are seeking to get results, and you don't get them, this is the reason. That is the problem. It's not, demons. It's that you need to control what you think. Okay? It's very clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 4 on. So the weapon of your warfare. You see, this is the way we fight. The fight goes on in your mind. It's not in the physical. Okay? They are not carnal, but mighty to God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds is not something outside you. Strongholds is the number of thoughts, ideas that you got inside that they have solidified themselves and you follow. And because, just what you believe is the result of a combination of exposure to different things that form a stronghold. That is very difficult to change. You can go to somebody around and say, when you have to accept the Lord and they listen to you and they just receive it. There are things that need to be removed from them, way of thinking that have to change. And for that to do, it takes time. See, but this is a spiritual activity that has to happen and happens at the mind level. People try to find strongholds outside. The only outside power is what we give to them. Okay. Casting down arguments. That's pretty straightforward. It doesn't say you're casting down people or casting down demons. Hello? Arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of the anointing of God. Or what the word says. That's pretty clear. Okay? This is how you deal with temptation, which is actually nothing else than meditating in the wrong direction. And being ready, are you ready for that? And are you willing? Because in some area, we may just enjoy thinking about certain things that we shouldn't think about. Hello? Can be whenever. If you have a problem with sugar in your blood, and you think about the cake. Well, it's not good. I mean, you're damaging yourself. I mean, it doesn't need to be big stuff, you know. It could be small things, but they impact your life. So what you have to do is to change the way you think about the cakes. Or any other thing. All right? So, being ready and being ready to punish or to vindicate, to resolve, is not just punish. You know, what do you punish? A thought? No, it's just you have to resolve the idea. Okay, that's a better translation, I think. Okay. Punish and all disobedience when you do, your obedience is fulfilled. So are you ready to change the way you think about things? Are you ready to change, to give power to the to things that defeat you instead of things that are going to produce life in you? That's really what we are talking about. That's the battle that takes place within each one of us. That's the thing we have to get good to overcome by meditating. See, that's the way the change takes place. Praise the Lord. See, the battle and the victory is in your mind. See how powerful actually your mind is when you use it properly, instead of allowing it to control you. When you said, you know, from your spirit, you should get the direction that those thoughts should go through the word. Hallelujah. See? Everything. Temptations in different areas, our relationships, our physical healing or condition, you know, are succeeding in the things we do, are all connected to this. If things you are not succeeding on in any area of your life, it's because your thinking needs to be changed. It's not because some demon is stopping you. You are stopping yourself because you have accepted some ideas that are destroying your success, are destroying your health, are destroying different things in you that God wants you to have and he promised to you. God, every good things come from the Father of Light. Every good things. Hallelujah. Okay. So, I'm going to just add one little thing here. Now, the things you are exposed to, your environment, is critical to what's going on inside you. If you are in dysfunctional environment, you're going to react to that, and it's very difficult to control your thought because all the things around you are not the way God thinks, are contrary. So you had to take a position. You had to do something. Well, if you go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, it shows you completely the story about that. You know, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Okay, so instead of giving attention to your environment, give attention to his word. Okay, incline your ear to my sayings. That means you listen to me. Be careful. Okay, do not let them depart from your eyes. That means, you know, always there. You don't let yourself be distracted. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That means, you know, you are connected to that. You believe them. You know, you are actually, they are actually operating in you. It's not just something that you repeat like some people that are religious do. You know, they say words, prayers, that blah, 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 blah. It means nothing. You are focusing on that. You are thinking on that. You are actually meditating on it. All right? Otherwise, it's not in your heart. Now, you can even memorize it, you know, knowing by heart. But, you know, even knowing by heart, you can say things without thinking. Okay? For they are life, again, you know, life to all to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. So automatically, you see, this is producing life in general and specifically health to you. If there is no health, it's because we disregarded that sometime. Okay, before. So, point is, you know, after says, verse 40, 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. How do you keep your heart? Well, you try to not allow other things to get to it. So you are trying to stop the exposure of other things. You start to stop the influence of the world around you. And if needs to, you separate yourself from those things, because otherwise you're going to be caught by what is around you. See, this is the thing that we had to do to be able to succeed. And if you don't do it for any reason, sometimes, you know, you can do it, so you have to find way to handle that, to protect your heart, so that you are not going to be affected, and so that you can keep your position, your thinking, your focus on the word instead of being focused on all the other things. You know, if you spend all your time watching the news or watching soap operas or doing other things, don't expect your thought to be good and your heart to be clean. It's very simple. Okay. So there is a practical way to actually implementing this, so that we is going to be effective, so that your meditation is going to work. Don't expect your meditation, you know, if you're exposed to a negative, you know, worldly environment, carnal environment, don't expect to be able to find easy to be spiritual and to be operating according to the word. Because you are swimming against current all the time. Okay, so put away, you see, continuing there. Putting away the deceitful mouth, so you just be careful what you say, and put the perverse lips from you. That means, you know, your heart, what you say is what is inside you. So this is going to be a manifestation when you're getting off the tangent. Let your eyes look not to the right or to the left, and your eyelid look right before you. Okay, so your goal had to be quite fixed. You should know what you want. Otherwise, you cannot go there. Okay? Ponder the path of your feet. Ponder means, you know, you're really not just going ahead without thinking. You take step before and you thought about what you want to do and what you want to achieve. Okay? The idea is people react and they don't get what they want. You have to know what you want, and then you know how to act, not react. This is true in everything, including relationships. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. So that's really the whole direction. You see, this is really the basis on which we can understand how we can meditate and how we can win the battle in our life. If we don't do that, we cannot, people blame God for everything, when instead they don't understand what God expects from them and what God taught us to do. Because we learn from the world. You know, we operate the way, you know, you think, you know, it's the principle of entropy. Okay, you leave things by themselves, they're not going to get better. They're going to always get worse. Okay. There is no, you know, theory of evolution working, okay? Actually, recently, even mathematically, they proved that's impossible. Okay? I had a video on, that I passed to somebody, that in which there were three university professors. One was a Christian, the other two were not. And they all came to the same conclusion. One was in computer sciences, doing a mathematical study. Another one was a philosopher. Another one was a biologist. Independently, they wrote books about the fact that the theory of evolution is a wrong theory. It cannot happen physically at all. It's, the probability is zero. Not 0.000 and something. No, just zero, because, you know, you need, I don't know how many thousands of zeros to really reach the point when you can have it probabilistically, which is impossible. All right. So, did you get anything today? Do you understand now how to go about making changes in your life? Because that's the objective. It's not this is not for theory. This is, you know, Christianity is not to create theology. You know, theologians try to understand Christianity, but really the bottom line is to be able to do what God says and get the results that He promised. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together and close in prayer. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that is life for us. We open ourselves up to your truth, your direction, your power, which we know that is given to us as we go to the word, as we meditate on it. Help us to learn how to meditate, to be effective, to be knowing how to not be deceived, to recognize when we are tempted, to know your will for us, that we may be able to receive everything that you plan for us to have. We just thank you, for we know that you are a good God, a God that wants us to be blessed, to be strong, to be healthy, to have a relationship with you, and to succeed in everything that we do. And so today, we thank you from our hearts for everything that you made possible for us to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.